Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the second half of our great big giant Monday show. It is Monday for those of you who are confused still from the Super Bowl. It's Monday. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our topic this hour, why are you an atheist? If you are an unbeliever, if you don't believe that there is a God, or you believe – I suppose we'd even go with you believe there's probably not a God, and you'd like to discuss that with us, 888-318-7884. 7884. Our guest, Trent Horn, is the author of 20 Answers, The Real Jesus, one of the Catholic Answers, in the series of Catholic Answers 20 Answers books. He's also the author of Why We're Catholic, and he's the author of Answering Atheism, which turns out to be a description of what he's going to be doing for the next hour. Hi, Trent. Thanks for coming back.
Always glad to be back, Si. Didn't have to go anywhere too long, so it all worked out.
During the break, we were just briefly talking about our favorite pretend metals, and unobtainium is my favorite name for a pretend metal. You had a metal I'd never heard of. Nth metal?
Nth metal.
Nth metal, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about superhero and comic book trivia, and so I posed the question, what is nth metal? Where is it from? And actually, so in my new podcast, The Council of Trent, there's going to be subscriber levels where you get all kinds of little goodies and, you know, bonus interviews, a free t-shirt, you know, extra exclusive content based on your subscriber level. And it goes bronze, silver, gold, and then nth metal, which in the DC universe comes from the planet Thanagar, which is one of the strongest metals in that universe. It can repel gravity. It's effective against magic. It's pretty awesome. It's what makes up Hot Girl's mace, her big metal club she swings around that allows her to defeat pretty bad guys.
I feel like you're saying this like we don't already know it, but obviously everyone already knows it.
Just a light refresher.
In case you missed nth metal. Somebody on Facebook said their favorite pretend metal is mithril. I got to say, that's a pretty good one. You know mithril, right?
Mithril?
Yeah.
I'm not as familiar with that one.
Oh, it's from The Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
yeah, that's the one that Frodo wears.
I see. I'm just not, with the word nerdy, I guess. I'm just kidding.
Wait, what? What? Can we get another guest? Do we have anybody else in the building that could come in for the rest of the hour? Maybe we could
of course.
Is Carlo here? Can we get
it's
Carlo?
Very, maybe that just shows I'm not well educated because I like books with pictures in it. And and when I try to read through Tolkien, I really appreciate his description, but he really has a lot of description. So,
that's true.
The books are classics. Certainly.
That's true. Yeah. I remember the first time I read it, I was 12 years old, and it has poems and things in the book. I would just skip the poems. I'm not going to be doing that. Nope. I'm 12. I need to get to what happens to the ring. Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. Why are you an atheist is the question. And we're very grateful to those atheists who will call and discuss it with us. That's a noble thing to be willing to have that conversation. 888-318-7884. A whole bunch of calls already, Trent. So how about we go to the lines?
Let's do it.
Joseph in Worcester, Massachusetts, listening on EWTN. You are on with Trent Horn. Why are you an atheist?
Yes, hello. Let me say at the outset, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I listen all the time, and it's thought-provoking. I like your show and Cresta's show as well.
Oh, we never talk about Al Cresta. No, please do not mention her. No, I'm just kidding. So why are you an atheist?
So, first of all, I don't really claim to be an atheist. I don't know what you would call me. I don't affirmatively state that there is no God, and I don't deny the possibility of the entire paradigm. But what happened was some years ago, something happened in my life which was very devastating to me. Mm-hmm. It caused a great emotional upheaval in my life. And I was forced, ultimately. Originally, what happened kind of made me angry at God, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, to the point where I used to curse God. And eventually, you know, you can only do that for so long before you're forced to sort of reason out how whether you can continue believing in
So Joseph, what happened to you, Joseph, is that something really bad happened to you, and at first you were mad at the silence of God, but you believed that silence was merely indicative of the absence of God.
It's not so much this.
Well, I mean, not just the silence, it's the bad thing happening. You're mad at God and then think that what seems like maybe God's silence, that he's not answering, he let this bad thing happen to you. You transition from that to saying, well, because this really bad thing happened to me, I don't have a belief that there is a God.
Well, no, not entirely. Okay. So I asked myself, you know, I went back to, you know, the original proposition of, okay, you know, why I believe that there's a God. And essentially, the reason I believed and always believed is because, you know, having been raised Catholic, going to parochial school, I was told by all the adults in my life that this is true, that there's a God, and these stories that we read in the Bible are true, and basically I originally accepted it because of that. And okay, it was reinforced by the fact that, you know, there are other people, you know, the Protestants, and there are, you know, Jews and Muslims who also believe that there's a God. And so I took it for granted, you know, I came to full acceptance, you know. But
well, let me jump in here, Joseph, because I want to make sure that we can address this well before we have to go to our break. And this does help clarify things for me a bit. So it wasn't so much that something you endured evil or suffering to make you think lose a belief in God. Is that that event made you go back to the original question, which is, why would I believe there's a God in the first place? With kind of fresh eyes. And you see, well, these other people say I should believe. And, you know, I agree with you, that's not a super great reason. That's not a good reason to believe in God just because a lot of other people do. I mean, lots of people can be wrong. But for me, like when bad things have happened to me and I've seen bad things happen to other people, the bad things can weigh down on us a lot. And it can push us sometimes towards atheism. But then I think, wait a minute, there's other good things and there's other things that outweigh the badness and the suffering. And then there's these things like, you know, if God doesn't exist, it doesn't, you know, how could there be a universe where there's good or evil at all? There would just be nothing. But another way of looking at it for me that's helpful for me when I contemplate horrendous suffering, and usually horrendous suffering takes the form of human beings dying prematurely or enduring really great pain, is the thought that, well, if there was no God, then all this is just kind of meaningless anyways. That if I'm suffering or someone dies prematurely, that's not an injustice. It's not something horrible and terrible. It's just kind of blind, pitiless, indifferent nature. And we're all just atoms here floating in the ether, and we will come and go, and then there'll be nothing. And that's it, that ultimately nothing really matters. But for me, though, wait, like if I especially, you know, have mourned the loss of a loved one, I know that that person was not merely molecules in motion. They were an irreplaceable, unique person, and they have eternal, everlasting qualities about them, and they're not really gone. There's one day they will rise up again, and that they had intrinsic dignity. We have intrinsic rights. We have value, things that don't make sense in an atheistic universe. So for me personally, when I contemplate tremendous suffering, I see, wait a minute, that suffering points to a dignity that doesn't make sense if there is no God. And that can kind of give me hope when things are tough. So that's something I'd like to throw out there for you to think about. What do you think about that?
It's a little off the point, but it's I hear your argument.
But it seems to me you and I, we have to look for good reasons to believe in God, that maybe there are bad things that happen, there's suffering, but those things in and of themselves do not erase the good reasons to think that God exists. So, what do you think? It's just so unfortunate. I'd love to just talk with you all hour, for the rest of the hour about this, because it's just such an important question. But I think we've run up to the clock here. So why don't I do this? Why don't we get your contact info, and we will send you a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic. And the first few chapters talk about reasons to believe in God and why God allows suffering, as well as other reasons to be Catholic. So we'll send you Why We're Catholic. Just talk to the call screener, read through it, and then when I'm back on the show again, give a call. And it'd be great if you and I could talk about one of those reasons at the beginning, or how evil doesn't disprove God, and we can kind of go from there. So stay on the line. We'll get you a copy of Why We're Catholic, and then it'd be nice to continue the conversation. But thanks for calling in.
Thank you indeed, Joseph. We do have to go to a break. If you are an atheist and you'd like to tell us why you are an atheist, this hour is for you. Why are you an atheist is our question. And we throw it out there to anyone who is an unbeliever or a anti-believer. I don't know if that's the right way to put that. But however strong your feelings are on the matter, we'd love to talk with you about it. 888-318-7884. Trent Horn is our guest. We'll be right back with your calls. And Trent, after this.
Why are you an atheist? Call now. Trent is waiting to talk to you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together, we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Not so long ago, atheistic ideology was something that was spoken of only in private conversation or halls of higher learning. But not any longer. From bumper stickers to billboards to bestsellers, atheism has raised its voice and taken its place in our culture. In Answering Atheism, Trent Horn offers a fresh and useful resource for the God debate, combining a thorough refutation of atheist claims with a skillfully constructed case for theism, based on reason and common sense. Meticulously researched and street-tested, Answering Atheism offers a charitable approach that respects atheists' sincerity and goodwill, making this book suitable not just for believers, but for skeptics and seekers, too. Order Answering Atheism today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Also available in ebook format.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We've mentioned a couple times Trent's book, The Real Jesus. It's in one of 26 20 Answers books that Catholic Answers has. And right now you can get the whole collection, 26 books of the 20 Answers series, with everything from 20 Answers end of life issues, 20 Answers abortion, 20 Answers Bible prophecy. It goes on and on and on, all these wonderful 20 Answers books. You can get the whole collection of them for 60% off and free shipping. 26 books, 60% off, free shipping. We send it to you. You can go to shop.catholic.com to find out more. Shop.catholic.com. Trent, still more calls. We want to address the question, why are you an atheist? Let's go to those. And by the way, if you are an atheist and you'd like to call, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Colin in San Francisco, California, listening on Catholic Radio. Colin, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you an atheist?
Hi, thanks for having me. I've called before.
I know, you're calling. You're my old friend. We've been talking on the radio for years.
We have. I've actually followed you over to Catholic Answers, and through that found Trent Horn, who I also like. So thank you both.
Well, so you were going to say why you're an atheist?
Yeah, and don't worry, it wasn't you guys. You didn't do anything wrong. I was an atheist before I started listening to you. But I felt since I was young kind of almost certainty that there is kind of something out there, a purpose, something connected to me. But I also felt like other things, like if I really want something to be true, just on that basis alone, it would become true. So I think I had what a lot of people had, this entanglement between what I actually wanted to believe and what was actually true. And then I became Catholic, and then sometime after that, I realized I wanted to understand as well as possible my position, and to do so, I need to let go of any preference of whether or not God existed, be equally fine with either possibility, and then kind of take a careful look at it. And in doing that, I thought I would come back to a kind of more solid foundation for my faith, and I ended up realizing the reasons that I tried to find to justify the faith, I did not think were sufficient. And I guess my question for you is that, would you say that most people who are arguing for theism, for belief in God, would not be comfortable living in a universe where they knew God did not exist?
Yeah, I would. I would say that that's probably true, that most people who believe in God, that if it turned out God did not exist, I guess the word not be comfortable, I mean, they would certainly enjoy life less, or there would be a great sense of loss if it turned out that there was no God, death is completely the end of all things, everything will eventually die and decay, and there's no objective references for morality or purpose or things like that. But I don't think it follows that just because if I'm going to investigate a hypothesis, if I already come to the conclusion, well, if I investigate something and I already have an uneasy feeling about it, about one of the answers, that doesn't keep me from arriving at a true conclusion. To say that it would be to commit essentially a variant of the genetic fallacy, to say that an argument is false because of its source. So, for example, I mean, I think most people, when they investigate the question of free will, even people who think free will does not exist, when people investigate the question whether we have free will or we're basically just robots programmed by genetics, they're uncomfortable with the idea free will does not exist. But just because they lack that comfort, that doesn't affect whatever conclusion they reach. What affects the conclusion is the soundness of their argument. So when it comes to God, we would have to, in order to say the arguments for God don't work, we can't look at how people feel about God or not. We have to look at whether the arguments are valid and sound. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I wasn't even arguing that that by itself invalidates mm-hmm. anything.
Sure.
And I'm looking for the best arguments I can find for the position that's opposite of mine for that reason, because I'm examining it.
Sure.
But if belief in God were reasonable, what I would expect is not to only find the people who are okay with either scenario to be only on the atheist side. And so far, that's all I've found is, and I'm open to meeting a Christian who's comfortable with a universe in which God does not exist and it's not emotionally kind of invested in one outcome. But I've only seen that on the atheist side. If there is good reasons outside of emotional arguments for God to exist, I would expect a lot of people who are emotionally fine with either position to have moved toward the theistic position.
Who are emotionally fine with either. Well, actually, I would, that would actually drive me in the opposite conclusion, because sometimes our levels of comfort with something can create apathy. So if we don't really, if we're like, well, life is fine whether there's a God or not a God, then we're not really motivated to want to answer the question. We just kind of get caught up with what's happening in our lives. So for me, it's not surprising at all that people who are fine with the question either way don't put a lot of effort into answering it, because it's not that important of a question to them. Much the same way, I mean, let's take the question of whether the Holocaust actually happened or not. I think most people who approach that question, who end up believing the Holocaust did happen, are deeply uncomfortable with the idea that it did not, and there's some kind of grand conspiracy and things like that. So once again, that doesn't surprise me. Now I think among atheists, you know, there's different opinions about whether life has purpose or no purpose without God, and I don't know whether Christians think about that. But for me, we'll go back to the arguments itself. So, Colin, why don't we do that? I mean, you said, you know, I'm looking for the strongest arguments out there. What do you think are one of the strongest arguments, or at least a decent argument for God? And what don't you like about it?
Yes, I mean, we talked before, and I have the position that the universe could be self-existent. I know we disagree. I'm reading your book, Answering Atheism. I think you have a different take on morality than I do. And actually, I think it subtracts from morality to think that there's a God who created us for a purpose, and we are bound to that purpose. But I need to finish that book before I talk to you about that. I'd like to do you that.
That's fine, because that's interesting, though, that... Because one of the most powerful arguments for the existence of God is the idea that the universe does not have to exist. That if the universe is contingent, if something doesn't have to exist, we would say there's a reason why it does exist instead of not existing. You know, a reason in the thing itself or outside of it. So with the universe, we would take the conclusion, well, yeah, and I think this was several years ago we might have talked about this, about whether the universe... Does it have to exist or not exist? And so I guess what I would say to you is, what method do you use to try to determine if something has to exist or does not have to exist? Because for me, a lot of things that don't have to exist, I understand, you know, I can imagine them not existing. Like I can imagine the universe with a certain smaller mass, less gravitational forces, you know, I can slowly subtract things from it until we get down to nothing at all. Whereas when I think about necessary things, like certain propositions, for example, those seem to be that they just are, you know. So how do you arrive at the conclusion the universe is self-existent, and what do you use to determine that?
Right. I mean, I think you got the... I can't answer that, but first, I think to show that a God is necessary, you need to show that the universe cannot be self-existent. So that's your responsibility, not mine, from my position. That said, I think if there's something that has existed infinitely long ago and then makes the universe, that means that there's an infinite amount of time before it made the universe. And so that doesn't really make sense. And if something exists outside of time, then... there's no time for it to create something. I know your position is the universe is by nature itself, things appear without a cause, and that's indicative of God kind of being able to create it.
Colin, let's back up a little bit so we don't jump off on too many tangents here. I would agree that if I'm making an argument for God being necessary, I would have to make arguments that the universe is contingent. And I do make arguments like that. Like one is just from modal thinking that, you know, we can conceive of a world where there is nothing, but we can't conceive of a world with impossible things like, you know, married bachelors, things like that. But I could also just simply ask you the question and see what your thoughts are on it. And the question would be, do you think the universe is self-existent or necessary? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I think it's possible that the universe is self-existent, and as such, there's no need for a God. The idea that you can imagine a universe that exists or doesn't exist means that you're imagining something, therefore that means the universe could or could not be self-existent. I think there's a great hubris there that the universe has to be dependent on our imagination. If the universe was around for all time and there was nothing before it, it is self-existent by definition. And I think...
Colin, that doesn't answer the question, though, about something being self-existent. So you only said, well, it's possible that it's necessary or self-existent. And I agree... that's a possibility, you know, anything, almost anything is possible. But it sounds to me like you're more convinced that it is. Like, what's your reason to think that?
No, I mean, I'm not against the idea that there's something before the universe, be it a God or some other pre-universe thing. But that's something that I need reasons to believe, and I haven't seen those reasons provided. I think we agree that it's possible the universe is self-existent, and so why go a step further to imagine a God that it would have to be self-existent?
Well, Colin, there's a difference here. I think let's clear up our terminology. There's a difference between constant existence and necessary existence. So I personally think it's impossible for something to have infinite temporal duration, that that involves logical contradictions. St. Thomas Aquinas didn't think so. So let's say, yeah, the universe could have just simply existed for all eternity. That doesn't explain, though, why there is an infinite universe instead of nothing at all. That doesn't answer the question, right?
Yeah, so I agree that the universe couldn't have always existed. Maybe for the same reasons you do, but that doesn't mean that the universe is not self-existent. You can have something that exists infinitely long in the future, but has a starting point, or has its own starting point, before which nothing, including itself, existed.
Okay, well, that's the music. I'm going to address that point when we come back, but I'm happy you're reading the book, and it's a topic I'm hoping to return to in the future, so do call back. Would love to have a longer discussion with you on these subjects, and hope you're enjoying the rest of the book.
Thanks, Colin. We'll be right back with more. Trent, why are you an atheist? Right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Not so long ago, atheistic ideology was something that was spoken of only in private conversation or halls of higher learning. But not any longer. From bumper stickers to billboards to bestsellers, atheism has raised its voice and taken its place in our culture. In Answering Atheism, Trent Horn offers a fresh and useful resource for the God debate, combining a thorough refutation of atheist claims with a skillfully constructed case for theism based on reason and common sense. Meticulously researched and street-tested, Answering Atheism offers a charitable approach that respects atheists' sincerity and goodwill, making this book suitable not just for believers, but for skeptics and seekers too. Order Answering Atheism today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Also available in ebook format.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I have wanted to thank you so very much. Thank God. Thank God you guys are here for us. Believe it. I just can't believe all that you've done and how you've stuck with it. Many times when I think I can't do something, I think about some of the things that you've talked about.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Trent Horn is our guest this hour, the author of Answering Atheism, among other books. And our topic, why are you an atheist? If you're an atheist, we invite your call. We look forward to your call. Trent, you have taken some time to develop arguments over the course of the last hour and a half. And it does seem, I guess that points to the fact that these are not simple issues. They do, in fact, require work put into them to understand, for example, the reasons to believe in God.
Yeah, I mean, on one level, many people come to a belief in God or a disbelief in God without a lot of rational inquiry. I've met many atheists who haven't really looked at the arguments for God, have read very shallow works related to atheism, or just simply are atheists out of convenience. And believers who may not have read rigorous works of philosophy or theology, but they have come to know God through other maybe non-rational ways, like through prayer, through encounter with God in liturgy, which I think is, I think that's another valid way of coming to know God, that not everybody has to be a philosopher, that if God does exist, he can reveal himself to people in many different ways. But also just to say, look, the conversations we're having here, and I've really been enjoying them these 2 hours, honestly, that when people start to investigate these issues and they aren't sure, we dive into deep truths of philosophy related to existence, time, causation, and we have to walk through these with people to see what parts they agree with and what they don't. And with anyone's grappling with a question like the existence of God, for Catholics who are listening or anyone else, it's a journey we want to walk people along. And what I'm trying to do is to help people look at their arguments and see, you know, what do you think is strong? What do you think is weak? What do you disagree with? And then maybe try to offer them an alternative perspective on what they do disagree with. And that's what we're called to do as someone who shares the gospel or shares the truth with those who don't believe.
And the number 888-318-7884, if you are an atheist and would like to discuss your atheism, your unbelief, disbelief, or maybe your shock and horror at our belief in God, all of that is welcome. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Adam in Clyde, Ohio, listening on 88.1 FM. Adam, why are you an atheist?
I'm an atheist because of the massive amounts of apologetics available. It doesn't seem like it would be necessary if you believed in God.
So, Adam, you're saying you're an atheist because there are many different arguments and evidences people put forward for the existence of God, and you're saying if there were a God, there wouldn't be those evidences?
Yes.
If God existed, there would be no arguments or reasons to believe he exists?
Kind of like you and I are talking to each other. But more to the point, you've given God three abilities that make all of this unnecessary in the most strictest sense. Like if all of it disappeared, all the apologetics, we would have lost no information at all, aside from historical. And even then, according to the claims, we've still got a witness who could reproduce everything. You've got a God who can
Adam, let me go back a little bit. I want to address your argument here because I don't think it follows. I would agree with you that if God existed in the sense that he was just a giant man in the sky everyone could see, and he just said, "Hello, I'm God," you wouldn't really need a lot of arguments to believe God exists any more than you would need arguments that the sun, the big glowing ball in the sky, exists. You would just see it. But as a believer in God, I'm not saying that God exists like that. What I'm saying is that God is the ultimate reason that anything exists at all. And so you would need reasons and evidences for people who haven't thought that deeply. For example, what if I said this? Well, if the world were really made of atoms, you wouldn't need science textbooks to prove it. People would just see it. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, you've claimed that God is a person in the sense that he can communicate well enough to get some text of substantive size. Mm-hmm. You've argued he's omnipresent, or at the very least, not as geographically constrained as normal people, and that he's immortal, or at least he's not going to die anytime soon.
Okay.
All of these things have eliminated the need to rely on other people's word of mouth.
Why have they done that? Why?
Because if any of us weren't going to go anywhere, and if any of us could travel as well as a written word, we wouldn't have had the need to make such a wondrous invention in the first place. But that is only a side issue.
Because, Adam, I'm having a hard time understanding your argument. I mean, I think what you're trying to say is that if God existed, everybody would just know it automatically. But there's no reason to believe that. It makes perfect sense to me that God can exist, he creates the universe, and he does not make his existence obvious. And maybe one reason he doesn't make his existence obvious is he gives us freedom to choose to want to believe and follow him, or the freedom to ignore him. And so if that's the case, then that explains why there are good reasons to believe in God, but also people who are just capable of ignoring those reasons and ignoring God. So for me, that if God exists and he chooses not to make his existence obvious, then that explains why there are arguments for God, and then why there are some people who don't believe. But the fact is, many, many people do believe. So what's wrong with that?
Well, you're giving an argument in absence. If I had put your argument in the mouth of God, he could not give that answer that you just gave himself without the situation being patently ridiculous. I'm giving you free will, and I'm like, God, I'm getting this from you, and you're clearly here. You know, what are you saying?
Right. So, Adam, God can personally reveal himself to some people. I'm not saying it takes away people's free will. I mean, I believe that the devil knew God existed, for ages past, yet he still freely chose to rebel against God. What I'm saying is that your argument only works, it has a particular premise, that if God exists, then his existence would be obvious, and that arguments would not be needed. Yet there is no reason to think that premise is true. Why should I believe that premise is true?
Well, whereby do you come by the argument God doesn't make his position obvious? If
no,
it doesn't rely on God, then where did you get it?
No,
if it does
Adam,
rely on God, how did he give it to you without it seeming ridiculous?
No, Adam, there are ways to come to know that God exists without having a conversation with him. Would you agree that a person could know God exists without having a conversation with God? For example, I could see reasonably that the universe requires a cause, and the only sufficient cause is one that has divine attributes. So there, I know God exists, but I haven't had a conversation with him.
No?
I'm not sure that would be specific enough to not be able to argue for a whole host of every conceivable thing I could come up with.
Like what?
If I can just give things attributes without detailing exactly how I got to those things, then we could make up anything.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, Adam, that if you did that, but I don't reach the conclusion of God as the ultimate cause just through wishful thinking. To me, if the universe, for example, came into existence from nothing, then the universe is all space, time, matter, and energy. That means the cause of the universe cannot be material because it created space. It cannot be temporal because it created time. And it can't be physical or finite because it made matter and energy. It can't be consisted of the things that it made. So now I know there's a cause to the universe. It is immaterial. It is eternal. It's not physical. It's not finite. So it's infinite. Also, if this cause brings something from nothing, then it's essentially all powerful. It can do anything if it can bring something from nothing. And if this cause created a finite universe, then it has personal elements to it. So right there, if there is an immaterial cause, there are only two kinds of things that are immaterial: an abstract object, like a number, or a mind. And abstract objects can't cause anything. So now I have this immaterial, eternal, omnipotent mind. It's got divine attributes. So a person can come to know that God exists in this way without having to rely merely on human testimony. And finally, for me, it just seems odd that if there's lots of arguments for something, well, that's more and more evidence. The believer should not be penalized because there's lots of arguments. If there are very few arguments, that's what should really be distressing. So I hope that's helpful for you, and thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Adam. We do have to take a break. We'll be right back with more of our topic, Why Are You an Atheist?, right after this with Trent Horn. If you're an atheist and you'd like to try to get in before the top of the hour, we welcome your call, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Trent Horn? Did you know you can book Trent or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we are going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge and become better at defending your faith. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you an atheist? If you are an unbeliever, if you just can't find a reason to believe, give us a call. We'd love to talk about it with you, 888-318-7884. Try to get to as many of these as we can before the top of the hour. So we go to Cody in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Cody, you're on with Trent Horn. Why are you an atheist?
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Very well, thanks, Cody.
Well, I didn't expect to be nervous actually getting through. Okay.
Sometimes when you wait a long time, it does. It's like you just sit there on the phone waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're on there. Go, Cody.
Yeah.
That's fine. So go right ahead.
The main reason that I'm an atheist is I grew up in a religious home. I guess Catholicism would refer to it as Protestant. Went to a lot of different churches, heard a lot of different things, heard a lot of different messages from different preachers and pastors and priests and, you know, this is who God is. And three different people would say the same thing. Okay, this is who God is. And they'd all give different interpretations. And then they'd all say it's all divinely inspired. And it was all contradictory to each other. I mean, logically based, none of it ever made sense. And whenever I was getting older, I started kind of coming to the idea that, hey, okay, if there is a God, then the main attributes that everyone seems to agree on is God is all-loving, he's all-powerful, he's immutable, which he's unchanging. So if God is these attributes, then I should be able to find this God. I started going to scriptures, I started going to the Bible, I even kind of went into the early church fathers trying to kind of get an idea of who this God would be. Mm-hmm. And I started coming into problems like in the book of Exodus, you come to the burning bush. Moses is standing there. He's talking to God. God's given him instructions on how to get the Israelites out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And then God tells Moses, okay, you're going to go out. You're going to do these miracles that I'm going to show you. And I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, God literally says that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And then that's going to lead to the death of Pharaoh's son. And God pretty much tells Moses, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to harden his heart. And there's so many other things, like the death of so many people in the Old Testament, the flood that kills the entire population.
Okay, Cody, let's back up a little bit because – right. Let's back up a little bit because there are two points to address here, one a major and the other a minor. The major point would be, even if these passages in the Bible were confusing or seemed to depict God as not as he would act, that would not prove – God does not exist. It wouldn't even prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. All it would prove, at the very, very least, might be that some of these passages in the Old Testament are not necessarily literal descriptions of something that God did. They could be something that humans describing God acting in a non-literal way, or, you know, they're uninspired parts of Scripture. I don't believe that. But at the very least, that's all you could conclude. You wouldn't be an atheist. You could even still be a Christian and hold these views. That's the major point, though. The minor point would be this, that when we examine these different texts and their genres, I think we can see that they don't contradict God's goodness or his omniscience or anything like that. Let's take the example of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. When we look in the text, we see that in some places it says that God will harden Pharaoh's heart. In other places, though, earlier in the narrative, it simply says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened when Moses and Aaron approached him to free the Israelites, but it doesn't say by who. Later, though, we see the author of Exodus says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So it's kind of weird. The author is saying God will harden his heart, and Pharaoh hardens his own heart. And I see maybe where you're coming from is, well, this would just seem God is unfair if he just turns Pharaoh into a puppet and makes him keep the Israelites as slaves. But I don't think that's what's happening. We have to remember that the author of Exodus at this time in salvation history was really stressing the sovereignty of God. So other Canaanites, other pagan religions might have said to the Jews, if your God is so powerful, how did someone like the Pharaoh keep the Israelites enslaved? And so what the author is saying, well, God even knew that Pharaoh would do this, and he used this for his plan, so he's sovereign over everything. So we have to just keep that context in mind so we don't misread it. What seems to be here, and this is what St. Augustine says in his interpretation, that what's happening here is that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, not by doing something to it, but by removing his grace from it. By removing his divine grace, he kind of turned Pharaoh over to his wrathful self. And he did something similar to the Israelites in the Old Testament. He takes away his grace, and then the Israelites go and they do bad things of their own free will. And the same with Pharaoh. God knows that Pharaoh will do this. He'll be stubborn, and he'll lead Egypt to ruin, going through this to glorify his existence. And in doing so, and I don't mean to give a long, drawn-out answer, but it's an interesting narrative. We read when the Israelites left Egypt, it also says that a mixed multitude went with them. So it seems, you might say, well, why didn't God just, you know, teleport the Israelites right out of there? Well, it could be that one reason God chose to go through this way is by using these signs of his power and allowing Pharaoh to be stubborn in this way. There were Egyptians who forsook their pagan gods and left with the Israelites after seeing what had happened. So do you see how we need to, the text, we have to kind of go deep into them to see what their meaning is? So that's my long explanation for a minor point, but what do you think of that?
No, that's actually really interesting. I never broke it down quite like that. So the predestination of mm-hmm. God at that point could just be God speaking on what he already knew Pharaoh would do.
Would freely
kind of the
do.
Idea of what you're building.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, if there's different ways of looking at it, but just because I know something's going to happen, it doesn't mean I determine it. So, you know, if I'm up in a skyscraper and I'm looking down at an intersection and I see two cars and they're 100 feet from the intersection and they're going 50 miles an hour, I know they won't stop in time and they're going to hit each other. And so I know there's going to be a collision. But me knowing that doesn't cause the collision. Rather, the fact that the collision is caused and it happens is the reason that I know it. So just because God knows the future, when he sees the future like we see the present, he just sees it all in one eternal moment, then that doesn't – him looking at me in the future acting does not take away my free will to act at that time any more than me looking at Cy Kellett right now over Skype takes away his free will to act. And he's freely choosing to stare right into the camera.
See? Unless you hypnotize me. With your power of hypnotism.
So Cody, what I'd like to do, why not? Because, you know, we both have been doing this both hours. I wrote a book that deals with this that I think would be really helpful for you. And I think you'd find it to be a really, if you want to get deeper into the biblical text and figure out some of these puzzles, I wrote a book called Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Understanding Bible Difficulties. So in there, I go through a lot of these, like, passages in the Bible that just seem kind of confusing and go to that deeper linguistic and contextual level with them. So stay on the line, please. We will get your contact info and we will send you a copy of Hard Sayings. And if you have a question about what you read in the book, you could always call back on another show and we could chat about it more. So
thanks, Cody.
So thank you for calling in.
We're going out to Logan in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, listening on 88.5 FM. Logan, why are you an atheist?
I believe, I was raised in a Catholic family, from the time I was born all the way through high school and just a couple years into college. The entire time that I had been a Catholic, I had only known the explanations of the Catholic side of the explanation for topics like the existence of, you know, where did the universe come from? And maybe around 23, 24 years old, I started kind of looking into the other side about why creationism is not necessarily the best explanation or even an explanation at all. And that kind of kicked off my journey into atheism.
Logan, what do you mean by creation? Sorry to jump in. What do you mean by creationism?
That a creator started the universe. The obviously Genesis, they talk about God creating the earth in 7 days, 6 days, and resting on the seventh.
You mean like six literal 24-hour days?
Right. Doesn't even necessarily have to be that. I've heard arguments that each day could represent hundreds of years or an extended period of time. But I don't believe that God is actually a good explanation for where the universe came from.
Well, Logan, let me ask you a question then. If the universe did come from nothing, absolute nothing, what would be a good explanation of that?
That actually is the question that bothers me about the creation of the universe. It seems as though there's no evidence for God creating the earth, creating the universe, but we can't come up with any other explanation, therefore it must be God.
Well, I don't think that's not necessarily a bad way of thinking, that if in principle you rule out natural explanations, then only the supernatural remains. Like, for example, if you're open to believing that God exists, you might say, well, a miracle would convince me. And it's just because you don't see how there could be a natural cause. So if we believe in God because of miracles like the healing of amputated limbs, an arm coming from nothing, then something massive like the universe from nothing should actually be more evidence for God. And so I would say that the cause of the universe from nothing, if it's immaterial, eternal, powerful, has all these divine attributes, suddenly we're looking at a supernatural cause, not a natural one. And I go over that more in my book, Answering Atheism, if you like a more in-depth explanation of that argument. But thanks for calling.
Thanks, Logan. Thanks to everybody who called today. Thank you, Trent Horn, for 2 fine hours. That's a lot of work. Thanks, Trent.
Thank you, Si.
And tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. Any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church is welcome. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.